better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Talking about this game in Jerry World and having Arkansas A&M and the Southwest Classic and all of that. And, you know, when it was first announced and had the first few games, of course, Arkansas winning always helps. But there was still a lot of excitement around it, and it seemed like it was going to be helpful for recruiting. Do you feel like this game in this location has all run its course, or do you still feel like there's still some fuel to it?
I think it's close to having run its course. And I think that Chad Morris and his assistant coaches would tell you no, it hasn't, but by and large, they need to win a game for it to be helpful. I think that they expect to have a lot of recruits at this game, and maybe you could answer the question better afterwards when you see how many of those guys they either get or they don't get. But it's from my understanding that the game was one of the reasons why they played it. It doesn't have anything to do with football. And that it's a big academic recruitment tool, that they have things that go on during the, you know, the Thursday, Friday, that they raise money for endowment. They raise, interest in the alumni groups of, you know, we're back in town, and that those people, those families are sending their kids to the University of Arkansas in great numbers still. And all you have to do is just drive over to campus and just go through parking lot after parking lot. And it looks like about 80% of the cars got Texas license plates. Now, having said that, this is the first year in maybe like 20 that enrollment for entering freshmen has fallen. So you tell me, maybe that's an indication that this game has run its course, or maybe it's an indication that it's still important. You need to drive it in admission. So enrollment's going to fall for the next several years because you don't suddenly reverse that trend. Usually if it goes down, it's going to go down again the next year, and then those will be classes that stick with you for 4 years. There's no way to overcome that. It's just you're going to – so they're going to go from 27,000 to probably 26,000 in the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of factors went into that. Obviously, the Arkansas Scholarship Lottery has helped and getting a lot of people to be able to enroll. And, yeah, it skyrocketed. And there's just a lot. I remember when I was a student at the U of A, there's just the amount of Texas kids was always so strong. It seemed like half the campus was from Texas, and a lot of them from the Dallas metro area. So I always think there's going to be that element to this game, to where people can go home and go visit family and all of that. But I also believe that the original intent, or at least the intent that fans wanted from this game more so than anything, was to have a footprint in recruiting in the state of Texas. That's what they felt like was going to be the biggest and best benefit. Now, Petrino, I think he only got to coach in three of the Southwest Classic games. Arkansas went 3-0 in those games. And so they had some guys from Texas on the team. And, of course, we know when Bielema came in and the relationship that he had with the high school coaches in the state of Texas and recruiting there was not there. Chad Morris is trying to repair that. And so what you're still hoping, and at least what I would say from this game, is that Chad Morris having the connections in Texas, it could be extremely helpful for him trying to continue on with these solid recruiting classes by having that footprint in Texas, being able to tell these kids, hey, you come to Arkansas, I guarantee you once every year you get to play in Dallas Cowboys Stadium against an SEC opponent. Mm-hmm. I still think there's an element to recruiting that way. It's just, it's hard to directly say, oh, the reason that this kid came to Arkansas was because they played a game in Jerry World every single season.
Yeah, I think without question, Chad wants to keep playing there. And it takes two to tango, and it does not sound like the Aggies are interested from listening to their athletic director this week that's not something that they want to do. And I get it because they've got, 108,000 or whatever it is, sold out in their stadium. So every time they leave there to go play in Arlington, they take a hit. So
108,000 and no cheerleaders, you know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, got a lot of milkmen on the sideline.
Yeah,
those guys look like milkmen to me. Yeah. I mean, do you remember the old guys who wear the little white suits that leave the milk on your front porch? That's what those guys look like.
Look like to me, gas station attendants from the 1950s. What I get from that.
Yeah, see, those same guys, they delivered the milk. Same guys.
Back in the glory days.
Yeah, I'd see them, you know, dropping the milk off in front of our house, and then you go down to 12th and Fair Park, and there they'd be. They'd check your oil and clean your windshield.
So if this thing with A&M is running out of shelf life here, the tank's about empty, if Arkansas wanted to keep it going, who would be the dance partner? Who would be the other school that would be willing to sign up for a 5-year agreement?
Tommy, I think just about any team that's, I bet Nebraska would do it. I bet there's a lot of teams in that Big Ten area that like to fancy themselves as dipping into Dallas. Iowa might be interested. I mean, I just look at all those teams and, maybe you could get an Arizona or an Arizona State, play Herm Edwards. There's a lot of teams around that would think that would be an attractive game. And I don't think it has to be the same team every year. I mean, it could be, someone new that would be interested in a one game deal.
What if I said Oklahoma State? What would you say to that?
Yeah, they're going to play Oklahoma State.
But what if you played down there? Because both schools have interest in recruiting the greater Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. And it's regional. Now,
I think it makes a lot of sense, Tommy.
The crazy thing is it's closer for both schools to drive to either Fayetteville or Stillwater than it is to Dallas, but that's the part that doesn't make sense about it.
Yeah, yep. There's a lot of good reasons to do that series there. I'm not really interested in going to Stillwater. I mean,
you don't want to go to Eskimo Joe's?
I've been there, done that. No. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I used to have an Eskimo Joe's T-shirt. Yeah. I mean, it wore out, and I kind of did the Bieber thing. I threw it away.
But so you look at the possibilities. Oklahoma's not a possibility. Texas isn't a possibility for this. They already play there. I mean, you can only give one neutral site date on your schedule, really. I mean, that's just it's a permanent deal like this. And Oklahoma and Texas already have one. So it's going to have to be someone that fits a couple of criteria. And I think it's got to be a regional team to me to make it work, because how many teams from out west or somewhere else? And I just don't think if you play some of the other old Southwest Conference teams, a Texas Tech or a TCU, that just doesn't have enough zip, I think, for most people. So I think this thing is running out of legs here quickly.
Well, if it does, that's fine with me.
Yeah, you got a beautiful stadium in Fayetteville. Use it.
Yeah, and I like going to College Station too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. It has really complicated the Little Rock deal, and maybe that's another conversation. But it's awfully difficult to play at Arlington and at Little Rock and have a balanced schedule that's still attractive for season ticket holders in Fayetteville. It's just hard. And in fact, I'm not sure it's very smart to try that.
Yeah, because at some point, I guess both of these contracts, correct me if I'm wrong, Clay, both these contracts with War Memorial and with Jerry World ends in 2024. Is that correct?
Yeah, they've not been renewed.
Yeah.
You're exactly right, John. I mean, that's what I like about you. Every once in a while, you jump in with the cold, hard facts that, like the other night, you said, we are out of tequila. There is no more. There is no more. And everybody goes, what?
I like the facts. Facts don't care about your feelings, all about truth bombs, all those things, Clay. But I'm glad that I could add something into it, because I can't speak very well, but at least when I come in, I can tell you the truth.
Got to have the facts.
That's right. Facts is all that matters.
And no more tequila.
Yeah.
No more Little Rock. No more Arlington.
Yeah. Well, another fact is, too, Clay, is that one of the reasons I believe Arkansas fans, maybe in general, because we don't know, we know A&M fans, how they feel about this game. If it was up to them, they'd cancel it today. They don't want to have that game. But I also feel like another element is just the fact that Arkansas has not won this game since 2011.
It's a killer.
Yeah, they've had the home and home losses, I know, there in 2012 and 2013. when they lost those games too with Johnny Manziel. But it's the losses that have been piling up. It's the fact that, you know, again, it's been a long time that this has been going on. And it's amazing that if when Arkansas started this series, they went 3-0 against Texas A&M. Those games were incredible. But ever since that point, not only has Arkansas lost these games, but it's in the fashion they've lost these games where it's gone to overtime. You've had the skipper tripper game. You've had games where Arkansas felt like they should have won, even though they shouldn't have any business being in those games. It's just always felt like Arkansas ended up doing something that shot themselves in the foot to beat Texas A&M. Kevin Sumlin was fired from A&M for not getting results, and he went undefeated against Arkansas. Like, those are the things that frustrate
fans. You can flip that around. He'd have been fired quicker if Bielema would have won a couple of those games that he should have won. And guess who still might be in Arkansas? Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I think Bielema needed about two or three. You know, the Virginia Tech bowl game in Charlotte. You look at the Missouri games before that. That, you know, some of these second half, big second half leads that got gagged away. I think if Bielema had three or four more key wins in some of these Power Five games and mainly conference games, no question that it'd have been different. Probably still have Jeff Long as your AD. Bielema still as your head coach, and things will be much different on the campus.
Well, I'm not sure that all of that is bad.
Yeah.
So you got to turn it around, though. I mean, it's just like, hey, where would you be? There's not much telling. Yep.
And Kevin Sumlin got a check to go away. You know, paid in full, 60 days. So.
Yeah, he did.
But Clay, let me ask you, since we're going back to those games, why has it that these games, even when Arkansas, talent-wise, did not stack up against A&M, even though Arkansas was just a team that was in rebuilding mode or that A&M was the better team, whatever it is, why have they always been weird endings, close innings? It's been high offensive performances. You had defensive performances. You've had games that just don't make much sense, and one of them being last year where still A&M won, but Arkansas was at least in position late in the game to tie it up, losing 24-17. Why is it that this game in particular always has weird close endings, even though one Arkansas has no business being in the game?
You know, the best explanation that I can give you is Aggies will always be Aggies. And, you know, if they're walking through a pasture and there's like clumps, you know, that the cows have left, they will step on the clumps. I mean, it's just every time. And then they get out of the field and they look down, it's like, man, my boots stink. And they don't even know that they did it. And it's been like that since the beginning of time. And the Aggies will screw it up. And now they were missing pieces in all those years. It's not like they were running through the SEC and dominating. I mean, you know, even when they had Johnny Manziel, that they struggled to win the games that they were supposed to. I mean, they had some deficiencies. So you have chances against them because they're not perfectly constructed football teams. I mean, we've already seen that this year. Kellen Mond will make decisions that baffle you. It's like, throw it to that guy. No, I'm going to throw it to that guy. And he runs when he ought to throw it. He throws it when he ought to run it. I mean, you watched Jimbo Fisher's face on the sideline. He's about to explode, 10 times during the game because of his quarterback play. So, which is really strange, that he picked him over Nick Starkel. And it's like, well, maybe he knew what he was talking with Nick Starkel after he, threw all the interceptions last week. But it's, again, when you're missing some key ingredient, except for Johnny Manziel, they have not put it together at quarterback at Texas A&M. I mean, just think about some of the quarterbacks they've had that they've let get away, right? I mean, it's just like, Kyler Murray, Kenny Hill, Nick Starkel. So, I mean, it's like, what's going on down there? There's some stuff in the water that is just like doesn't make any. It turns out stuff that they walk through the pasture, they step on all the right clumps. I mean, the wrong clumps.
It's a Football Friday brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith, where you always get more for your trade. 2019 GMC Sierra trucks up to $14,000 off retail price. It's the final weekend of the month, so don't miss these big rebates that expire Monday. It's all at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Now, Clay, you've been covering the Razorbacks for a long time, and you remember a lot of those Arkansas-Texas A&M matchups back when they were in the Southwest Conference. This is always something I ask people that I know in the media down at Texas A&M, and of course, they all give me the same answers. I'm going to ask you, should Arkansas, over time, or at least in the greater scheme of things, be a better football program than Texas A&M?
Well, they have been. I mean, so the answer to the question is yes. I mean, do you understand that Arkansas leads the series 41 to 20-something?
41-31, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Oh, okay. Since Texas A&M has won the last seven, it's gotten a little closer. But right. It used to be really, really wide.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I think without question that, you know, the people in Texas, they look at Texas A&M and they wonder why they have not been better. And, you know, that's the most talked about thing is why can't they dominate? Well, you know, the resources that they have. And, you know, they just went out, I guess, what, $75 million for their head football coach?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you think he doesn't have some pressure. Chad Morris has got mm-hmm. pressure, but I'm not sure that it's not more for – I mean – basically, they said he will win a national championship, right? Isn't that what
they gave him the plaque?
Go,
yeah. With a blank date, yeah.
I mean that's pressure, and it's like they, you know, the clock's ticking on when he's going to get his buyout because it's almost going to be impossible for him to do that, right?
That's right.
41-31-3 is the all-time record, but 6-3 favoring the Aggies. In Arlington.
And the thing is, too, Clay, times have changed. You know, I know that the old Southwest Conference and how things were and why Arkansas has had such a great record, I agree with you that overall they've been the better program in history. But going forward, though, a lot of things have changed now that A&M is in the SEC, too. And now that I know that Texas will, it looks like they're going to be coming back, at least in force, but they have been down for the most part. They have enough money and facilities and everything that they can buy championships if they wanted to really try. But it's just times have changed. So I don't know what it is going forward.
No, but here's what hadn't changed. They're still Aggies.
That's right. That is exactly right.
All right, let's get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the Big 12 championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
Right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, Glock Days are next weekend, so if you would like to head out and check out the all-new range, get some great stuff and a great price on a Glock, you can do it next weekend. It's a once-a-year deal, the best prices ever, and the lowest prices you'll find only once a year on all Glock models. It'll be on sale for 2 days only. That's next Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th. And when you purchase a Glock next weekend at the Ozarks, you get a $200 value, free membership to the range for 3 months. You also get a high-quality Glock double bag pistol for two firearms and extra clips, free box of ammo with your new purchase, and a high-end Glock coffee mug as well. Don't miss it next weekend, October 4th and 5th, only at the Ozarks, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, Razorback basketball gets a nice commitment out of Duncan Powell. He's part of the 2021 class. He's a 4-star, 6'8" power forward out of Huntington Prep in Huntington, West Virginia. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, I think like they've had a lot of players Arkansas has in their past 15 years that came from Huntington Prep. I feel like, I mean, they've always produced some great players, but I think that's where Moses Kingsley came from. So they've had some players come through there in that pipeline. But a nice commitment for them in the 2021 class. Also, T.J. Hammonds will be officially back with the team this weekend, but Chase Hayden, the running back, will be out against Texas A&M in concussion protocol. Clay, do you have any more information on that? Like, what play it happened? Did it happen in practice? What's going on with Chase Hayden?
Yeah, I didn't notice anything. In fact, I didn't notice him struggling, you know, or going out of the game. And there's sometimes that they, you know, a concussion happens and, you know, you keep playing and then all at once after the game, it's like, it's getting worse. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you start getting dizzy and other things and, you know, sometimes the first sign that a guy's got a concussion to anybody is that he goes into the locker room, throws up.
Yep.
I mean, it's like, what's going on? All, once you check them, and yeah, they had a concussion, and they played through it, didn't realize it, but it's I want to tell you, that's the most scary thing that there is in football is those concussions.
Yeah, and you know, Tyler Wilson hopefully will be with us in the next hour. Obviously, that was a battle for him, but you'd think with this new helmet technology, we'd start seeing the, and maybe the numbers are reduced, and we just focus on the ones that happen more. But so much of this new helmet technology, you hope, minimizes this, where players aren't losing playing time, and ultimately their long-term health and safety are better, because they have invested a lot of money as a sport in getting the helmets right.
Yeah, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, it's like the whiplash effect. You know, it just kind of runs up through your spine, and it's like, whoa. So there's a lot of different aspects that go under the concussion protocol.
All right, so we will have Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler, just heard back from him. He's listening and said, yep, I'll be there at 8.
So. Yeah, well, good deal, because I'll be interested to see what he has to say about the performance in San Jose State, but also heading into Texas A&M, because, Clay, you brought it up. I'd be curious, in talking with Tyler, I believe we did it at the same time last year when they played A&M, just his incredible game and the comeback that they had against the Aggies in 2011. One of my favorite games I ever been to.
It never gets old talking about it, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I think it was pretty simple stuff, though. It was like, he'd go in the huddle and is like, Jarius, you run down in that real big open space and I throw you the ball. I mean, that's what it looked like was going on. Maybe there was some more scientific strategy, football terms that go into that. But it's like you go in the big dark hole in the middle of the field and that you know, because there's nobody there. I mean, did it over and over.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Just to give a real recap of last week, we gained some ground on Clay.
Yeah.
Clay was leading the way with 6 points. We all had 3. Well, Clay didn't gain any points this week. He's still stuck at 3. We all gained a point each. So now we're all tied for last or second, however you want to put it, with 4 points.
But we're closer.
That's right. That's right. We're closer, and we're going to try to gain.
Still in last.
Yeah, I know, Clay. But we're going to try to gain some ground on you this week, and we got a few good games to really.
That was the game, y'all. I mean, that was the week y'all should have passed. And y'all just.
Well, the problem is.
They had to run the table.
But yeah, the problem is that we all picked the same games, is end up being the case. So nobody wins in that case.
Yeah,
so
we suck together is basically what it happened.
Exactly. So hopefully we can mix it up a little bit this week, and we will start with, I guess, the game in the SEC. It's not really the game in my opinion, but it is the one that's on CBS at 2:30. Alabama and Ole Miss. Alabama favored by 37 points in this game. Henry, who do you got?
I'm not going to argue with Alabama.
Not going to argue with Alabama?
I'm just going to go with them.
Going with Bama. Okay, all right. So that's an easy pick. All right, Tommy?
Every time I go against Alabama on the spread, they make a fool of me.
So?
The 37's a lot.
That's a lot of
groceries, my friends. Give me Ole Miss and 37.
All right. 37 there for Ole Miss. All right, Clay.
We'll regret it.
I'm going to go Alabama.
Alabama.
I'm with Henry.
All right. Man, Tommy.
I know.
37 points is a lot of points.
That's a lot of groceries right there.
Give me Bama. I got to go with Bama.
All right. I got a chance.
So you got a chance to gain something there. I'll sit you up for that. All right. Next game. Other a good game in the SEC is Auburn and Mississippi State. Auburn favored by 12 points in this game since I went last. I'll go first in this one. Give me Auburn. I think Auburn is, I don't want to say they're for real, but they're definitely getting things going in a major way. I think Mississippi State is a team that's not as good as what a lot of people were hoping to be. I think Auburn wins by 2 touchdowns. At least give me Auburn. Clay, who do you got in this one?
I got Auburn.
Okay,
I'm a believer. I like their defensive line.
Okay. Tommy?
The line was what?
12 points.
That's the halftime line, right? They're going to lead by that at halftime, right? No, give me Auburn. They're at home. 12 would be no problem.
All right, we all got Auburn. Henry, this might be your chance if you want to switch it up. Who are you going with?
Let's switch it up.
You want to switch it up?
Yeah.
Okay, go to Mississippi State.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, Henry playing smart here.
Right. I'm going to gamble.
All right. Yeah. Hey, that's how you get ahead here.
Yep.
All right, so you're going to go Mississippi State. All right, finally, got to go with the Arkansas Razorback game. This line started at Texas A&M being favored by 21 points, by three touchdowns. It has now moved to 23 points. Texas A&M is favored. Henry, who are you going with?
I'm going to mix it up again.
Okay.
I'm going to say that they're probably going to win, but not by that much.
Okay, so you got A&M?
Yeah, okay. Let's hope. All right,
so you got A&M. All right,
no, he said they're going to win by that much.
You want Arkansas,
yeah,
right?
You want Arkansas.
Yeah, okay, that's what he meant. Okay, all right, gotcha.
I thought that's what he meant.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to make sure. All right, Arkansas then. Tommy?
Give me A&M.
A&M. All right. Didn't really hesitate that one. It was all about A&M. Okay.
No faith right now.
Okay, Clay?
I like Arkansas to cover.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to win, but I think I think Nick Starkel is gonna have a nice game against his old boys.
Yep. Hey, listen, I'm gonna go with Arkansas as well. This game is weird. It's weird every single year. It's always
weird.
Close. I'm not saying Arkansas is gonna win either, but I don't see them losing by more than three touchdowns in this game. It's just for whatever reason, it's always close. So I'm gonna take Arkansas as well. So Tommy,
oh, I got a chance this week to make some ground.
You can make some ground, or you can get put behind pretty quick. So, but that's good. I'm glad none of us had.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a tie for last anymore. There'll be a definite last.
There will be a definite last.
Yes, there will. Well, it's good because there's no game that we picked this week that's all the same across the board. So there'll be a lot of mixing and matching going on. All right, and finally for the bonus point, real quick. The amount of rushing yards for Rakeem Boyd against Texas A&M. And I got to think, Texas A&M's got a good defensive front. Arkansas's offensive line has struggled. So I'll go ahead and kick it off since I went last this past time. Give me 85 yards for Rakeem Boyd against A&M. Clay?
I'll say 55.
55. Okay, wow, going lower on that. All right, Tommy?
The double nickel.
Me or Henry?
You can go, Tommy.
$1, Bob.
1 yard, okay. Going with the 1 yard, all right. And Henry?
I was going to say that.
Say two.
Say two.
Don't say two, Henry.
Say two.
No, Henry, don't.
Nobody.
Two. I'm going to say two.
He's got two.
Tommy, you do not.
He wouldn't have done it if you hadn't coached him. That's
Tommy,
coming.
You don't say one when somebody's behind
But I never
you.
Get to go last. John screws me on this thing every week.
No.
Okay.
Coach him a little bit.
My goodness.
John,
what if he
coach him a little bit.
My goodness.
These are net yards, right?
If you did that on the price of right, Bob would come down.
Henry wasn't going there until you. I should have turned your mic off.
Well, you could have.
My goodness.
I might now.
You could have.
There.
Oh,
see, done.
At that point, if you would have said $1 with somebody behind you, Bob would have come down and said, open up all the cages backstage.
I understand.
All the homeless dogs, and they would have mauled you.
I was fine until you open your big fat mouth.
Okay, I know the tensions are very high when it comes to the picks and the fence man, so we'll go ahead and lock these in real quick as a quick recap. Tommy, for the Alabama Ole Miss game, Tommy, you have Ole Miss. Henry, you got Bama. Clay's got Bama. I got Bama. For Auburn and Mississippi State, Henry, you have Mississippi State. The rest of us have Auburn. For Arkansas, Texas A&M, we all have Arkansas except for Tommy, who's got A&M winning this game big. And then for the final tally of rushing yards for Rakeem Boyd, I got 85 yards. Clay's got 55 yards. Henry's got 2 yards. And yeah. Tommy's got 1 yard.
So now I
got
to hope for Rakeem Boyd to have 1 net yard.
1 single yard.
1 yard.
Wow. So it's that should be interesting. All right, lock it in. Right, guys? We're all good with it?
No, I'm not.
I
change my 1 yard.
No, you can't change your 1 yard. It is over, locked in, and there you have it.
Henry
appreciate
wasn't
it, guys.
Going 2 yards until y'all said...
Like you wouldn't have done the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to say $1.
Yeah. All right, so you went with two. It still works out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson here on the Morning Rush. Tyler, as always, appreciate you joining us. And, we had some fun with you last week about you having to go to a wedding, but maybe the wedding was the better idea last Saturday than watching the Razorback game, man.
Well, I snuck out pretty much regularly during the post-wedding ceremonies, and I watched a lot of it, unfortunately. And I thought we were going to come back and figure out a way to win that. And I think everybody in that stadium wanted to will Arkansas to win, but man, unfortunately it didn't happen.
So Tyler, just in your opinion, from what you got to see and all of that, and I just how does that happen? Like how do you as a team, after a nice victory or at least a victory you could feel good about against Colorado State, where you finished off in the fourth quarter, that you go into a game at home against a San Jose State team that's not very good? I mean, how does that type of performance happen collectively as a team?
You know, I listened to the post-game press conference. You start to hear some things now. You try to figure out why you didn't come out and play good. You know, if you play anywhere near how you played against Colorado State, you think you could win that ball game. But I'll say this. I mean, whether that was coming out in pregame, you know, feeling good about yourself because you beat Colorado State. And, I mean, we act like Colorado State was this new team that was, you know, we came out and we were perfect against Colorado State. It was tied in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter. And, I mean, we were fighting, scratching and clawing, try to beat Colorado State. I was watching that game going, my gosh, we might not win this one. So, you know, I mean, we had to play really, really good in the fourth quarter to separate ourselves against them. You know, and we didn't make any errors. I mean, we were pretty solid performance when it comes to not turning the ball over and being crisp. We turned the ball over five times, five interceptions. They'll do it, and it's hard to beat a high school team with five interceptions. You know, and not that I'm not saying that he doesn't need to be aggressive with football. I'm just saying turnovers will get you beat every time.
Tyler, this Clay, and everybody is like, okay, in pregame when you noticed that the team might be flat, well, you do something about it. But explain to me the what goes in with the mental preparation and as far as early in the week, if you're flat or you've overlooked a team, what happens during the whole week of practice that leads up to that flatness for a half?
Well, I think I always felt like energy was so contagious, and I felt it so much after Petrino left that we just never got that same emotion back. It was, I don't know. I never felt the same confidence in the team. And, you know, I sense, you know, every coach and every staff and every, whatever it is, every team's got a different feel. And I have not been close to the program since, but meaning just, in terms of being on the field and having a good gauge of what the energy's like. But personally, I felt that, you know, once that next year after Petrino was gone. But, you know, it never gave me the sense that I was as secure in what I was doing. And if somebody else, for instance, on the bus to the game was distracting or had their mind on something else, it created a sense of we're not prepared and they're not prepared, and you know, you just kind of get that sense. And you know, as distracting as that can be sometimes, you know, whether that's coming out the pregame without your shirt on or, you know, little things like that I noticed or picked up on, you know, there's things like that subconsciously, you know, aren't right deep down. And it's the individualism, there's things like that are picked up on, I think, from all players, and it kind of rubs off on you and can be distracting. And certainly, you know, that was addressed by Coach Morris, I think, in the post-game press conference. It was addressed, by other players as well. Not that that's the reason why you lose, because there's other reasons, but it's certainly a feel, a attitude. It's an environment that rubs itself off on everybody.
Yeah, well, Tyler, now somebody else was probably ready to go, but I wanted to back up to what if you dance in the locker room after a victory that is not over a program like an Alabama or an LSU and an Auburn, and you barely won, does it set you up to overlook the next week?
I don't know, Clay.
You're a psychologist, Tyler.
My objective here is not to completely undermine anything that's going on. My objective is to analyze, what's going on during the game. You guys do a great job of analyzing what happens after the game, the psychologies of that. And here's the thing. I mean, I played for a guy that certainly would never do that. You go back to, let's just say Frank Broyles. I think we would never see, and that's the guy that's the creator of our program, basically. You'd never see him do that. But the game's changed. The world's different now. Old school versus new school. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that do that, and that's how they operate. I'm not undermining that by any stretch. But you certainly wouldn't think that Colorado State would be on the hierarchy of celebrations now.
Yeah. Tyler, let's talk a little defense. I mean, let's analyze some of that because the defense has given up big plays early in games. What are you seeing from the defense, and what do they need to do to mentally approach the game, to be more focused? What is allowing these big chunk plays? A 50-yarder early last week, a 75-yarder the week before. These first possessions have been rough for the Razorback defense.
Yeah, I think that, I just go back to last week and with a minute or 2 minutes left to go in that ball game, if we get a stop, we figure out a way to win regardless of what happened the other three quarters. And to me, there were four or five plays in that game where just total misrepresentation of eyes and getting distracted. And there was a ball thrown in the flats in like the third or the fourth quarter that was not a complicated, it was a back out of the backfield running in the flats, and he's got no one within 20 yards of him, and he turns it upfield, and I think it's a walk-in touchdown. It was zone coverage, but we missed an assignment and blew a zone coverage and had nobody protecting the flats. You can't do that. You just can't do that. And then, you can't tackle like we tackled in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line. And your offense, as bad as they've played all day and as many errors as they've made, they came down and then Starkle made a great throw in the end zone, slant route, and Trey Knox, that kid's going to be good. You see some bright spots. You kept asking me about wide receiver play. We made some plays, and I like our wide receivers. There you go, Tommy. but our defense had to have a backbone there and make a stop when our offense came down and answered, and we didn't. And you can't let that happen.
Speaking with Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, here via the Cherokee Casino Hotline on the Morning Rush. Tyler, I think we probably have talked to you about this. I know we did last year, but I want to ask you again because I know people love hearing about it and appreciate it. Take us back to when you were the quarterback of Arkansas and you played Texas A&M in Jerry Jones' stadium down there in Arlington in 2011. Arkansas is down 35-17 at halftime. You guys storm back. You break the record, still hold the record for most passing yards in a single game with 510 yards. Jerry's right has 281 yards. Tell us about that game and take us back to this, the difference it was in the tale of two halves and how you guys were able to get out of there with a victory.
That was the reason we keep bringing it up. That was the last time we won down there, right?
Exactly.
The last time we beat A&M. Is it 7 years ago, 8 years ago? Time's starting. I'm aging here.
But yeah, 8 years.
Eight years. Okay, so we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary. So hopefully we can get a win before then, but we're going to continue to reminisce. But one of those games that you'll never forget. And I actually kind of rewatched the game a few days ago. And we played so bad in the first half, and our team was searching for an identity and figuring out who we are and what we were about. And you know, Nile Davis was a big piece of who we were in the preseason, and Nile got hurt. And from that point on, I think we realized in the second half we had to come out and throw the ball, and we went five wide and started throwing the ball all over the yard. And if it wasn't for that, us probably being down 17 points or whatever it was, and we knew we had some pretty good wide receivers. But once we kind of went on full gas mode on throwing the ball around, we created an identity for that team. And that gave us, a totally different perspective on who we can be and what our goals and objectives would be for that year. And, you know, Tannehill was playing in that game. That was fun to be a part of and watch and compete against him. And, you know, playing in Dallas Cowboys Stadium is a big deal. And I'm glad, you know, a lot of people, Arkansas has not been successful since that game, but I'm in favor of continuing that series for as long as we can, even if it's with another opponent. Because I think Dallas Cowboys Stadium is valuable to Arkansas, even though we've not had the success over the last few years there. But that ball game, so much fun, guys, and the records and everything else that comes along with it, it's just icing on the cake over a win.
And also, Tyler, since you brought it up real quick, I wanted to ask you as a player, because, you know, we're fans or we're in the media, we get to go to Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It's awesome to be there. But as a player, what is that like where you're going into that game and it's in a stadium that you've never even seen as far as how nice it is and all that? What's that like as a player playing in that stadium?
Well, it's big time because, you know, who doesn't? I like Dallas. I'm a huge proponent of just the city and the environment, everything else. You put the Dallas Cowboys logo on the side of it, and you know that creates another huge value for you know anybody that's young and you, that's why you play the game of football. I'm not gonna lie, like that's the hierarchy of football. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better. We had this conversation yesterday. So do you give up Dallas Cowboys Stadium so that you can have another series with somebody else and every other year get to play in your stadium? Meaning we'll substitute Dallas Cowboys Stadium for every other year being able to play in Fayetteville, because you're going to have to say it's Oklahoma State or whoever it is. And, you know, I'm still a proponent. I'll take that game in Dallas all day long because it's a neutral site game, and I still feel like we're playing at home. And you know, to me, that stadium is as good as it gets.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, always appreciate you hopping on with us on Friday, Tyler, and hopefully we catch up with you next Friday talking about a victory over A&M, man.
I hope so, bud.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Tyler. And all guests, join us on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Hey, want to invite you to head by Burton Pools and Spas. Right now is a great time to construct your in-ground pool and save $5,000 on select models right now. It's their fall sale. It's the perfect time to plan your own backyard oasis for next summer. Get it constructed, everything designed and put in and ready to go this fall. And that way next summer and spring and summer, you're ready to go when the weather turns right. It's a great time to do it and a great time to save money, even on saltwater models right now, up to $5,000 off at Burton Pools and Spas. This is a first come, first served offer, so hurry by Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith. It's your source for backyard fun.
I know that Tyler had a lot to say there about the game last week and everything like that, but I thought it's kind of interesting to get his take on as far as getting ready for the games and if somebody's feeling themselves too much or being a distraction in pregame warmups or whatnot. You know, that's the thing, is that under Petrino, you know that those things did not fly. You know, those were just not things that they did. You would never see Petrino dancing in the locker room after the game. And if I did, I probably would just die right there on the spot. But it's amazing just to see how coaches handle things different and how teams handle things different and how players handle things different. And, you know, again, if Club Dub and all that stuff wouldn't have been an issue if they have beaten San Jose State the way they did. But since they weren't ready, they weren't prepared, Clay, everyone kind of reverts back to that of kind of the first sign of showing that they didn't know how to handle that success.
Well, that's what I thought, and I wrote it. I mean, it's too much celebration. So, yeah, it's you got to learn how to win. You got to learn how to lose. And I mean, when I say you learn how to lose, you learn how, you know, what causes it and avoid it the next time. And young players are subject to, for mental, distractions. And that's what Tyler talked about. And he didn't say young players, but I had that little asterisk with what he said. It's when you have young players, it's a learning curve. And I'm not sure that this team is just full of leaders that are able to recognize when a young player needs to be pulled back in. It's like, hey, this is Tuesday, and we've got a game this week, and this practice is important, and if you don't learn it today, you may not understand what's happening when we get to the game on Saturday. So Chad Moore said that there was nothing in the practice that indicated that they weren't focused, but there isn't any doubt that they lacked effort and fire in that first half against San Jose. Yeah, maybe that dovetails in this week, and they really bring it. And it, so something good will come out of something bad. You'd like to think you were 3-1 right now, and that this would be a game where you could really establish some momentum. But now it's there, as Chad Moore said on his radio show Wednesday, you've got two teams that have their backs to the walls. They're both 2-2 and 0-1 in the conference, and this is a game that is really important. And there's going to be one that limps out of there, and there's going to be one that kind of, gets their season going again.
I think we all believe A&M's capable. It's just hard to believe Arkansas is capable of playing at A&M's level right now. And I'd like to be convinced otherwise, but that's where I'm at. I'm just, on their best day, are they capable, Clay?
Yeah, the thing that we don't know, I mean, A&M has not looked like a dynamic team for whatever reason. And it might be because Auburn and Clemson are just so good. But I think the jury is still out on what Texas A&M is. And they're probably trying to figure their identity out. And again, their offense has not given them hope that, that they are really good at running the ball. Maybe they get well against this defensive line and these linebackers at Arkansas.
I'm afraid the jury has a verdict on the Razorbacks, though.
No question. Yeah, you're right, Tommy. Yeah.
Hey, I was up in Northwest Arkansas yesterday. Got to go by Sassy's, have lunch. If you're looking for a place to go by and have lunch for the game tomorrow, Sassy's had the award-winning wings. John, I tried it.
What'd you try?
I went in and I said, I want the John Neighbor special.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here's what...
Oh, you have audio of this?
Here is what happened yesterday at Sassy's when I attempted to order the John Neighbor special.
You know what you're having?
I want the John Neighbor special.
What is that?
The John Neighbor special.
What's the John Neighbor special? Who the hell is John Neighbor?
So that's what happened yesterday. I said, I want the John Neighbor special.
What did she say again?
Who the hell is John Neighbor?
I've been asking that for like 4 months.
Yeah.
I want the John Neighbor special.
What is that?
The John Neighbor special?
What's the John Neighbor special? Who the hell is John Neighbor?
I mean, wow. I think that sums it up pretty good
Wow. So. Man. And the ref takes a point away. Good grief. I was feeling myself today until I heard that the waitress didn't know who I was. Well, I'm sorry, Tommy, that I haven't gotten to that point yet, but thank you for continuing to spread the word.
The award-winning smoked wings, we started with some of that. I had one of their great burgers. Hey, everything on the menu is great, but I'm going to tell you, these smoked wings are the real deal. And we had the honey sriracha and the barbecue, and they were awesome. So if you're going by for the game, get you some wings at Sassy's. The brisket is always tender and delicious. You cannot beat Sassy's. And go ahead and try it. Ask for the John Neighbor special and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll probably get the same reaction, Tommy.
You know what you're having?
I want the John Neighbor special.
What is that?
The John Neighbor special?
What's the John Neighbor special? Who the hell is John Neighbor?
That's what happened. Okay, listen. I'm a prideful man, but I will laugh at that one. That's a good one that the waitress did not know who I was.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.